Welcome back to another episode of Mike and Beans here on week two of college basketball. Champions Classic starts tonight. Got a couple good games to talk about. Michigan State versus Kansas and Kentucky versus Duke. Before we get to that, we felt like the weekend slate, this past weekend of college basketball, was too good not to talk about. North Carolina goes on the road to face Kansas, and Kansas edges them out 92-89, and then Auburn knocks off Houston on the road. Just two great games. College basketball schedule kind of switched to kind of get these bigger games up early in the season. And then you have week one, you know, four teams in the top 11, I guess, going head-to-head, and they were phenomenal. We're first going to start with North Carolina versus Kansas. Takeaways from that game, Mike.
Yeah, I want to credit North Carolina for fighting back. Like, that was a game they very easily could have just folded over when Kansas had a dominant first half, but they fought back. They got going in transition, which I thought really helped them. They're much better when they're able to push the pace. The half-court offense still isn't there yet. But my big takeaway with North Carolina is kind of what we expected in the offseason. They don't have an answer at center. Jalen Washington played good minutes, and you got a couple of huge threes from Jalen Withers, especially in transition, running to the corner, then knocking down a shot. But they don't have that answer inside. It's very clear they're going to be looking for that all season. That's going to be their Achilles heel. They need to rebound as a team. Like, Van Allen Lubin transferred from Vanderbilt because he wanted to play more four. They're kind of using him at the five, and he fouled out in like 14 minutes. So I don't think they have an answer at the five. I think that is the big question with North Carolina. It's going to be all season. Is can they find enough production at the five to match their guard room, which was excellent. Elliot Cadeau was great in this game. I believe he had 7 assists. And then RJ Davis is RJ Davis. He's an All-American. So you just need more from your front court in particular. And guys like Cade Tyson, you brought in to expect to play at the four. He only played 1 minute. You brought in Tajon Claude really late in the offseason, which kind of showed like you were worried about the center spot. And that it still remains true. So credit to North Carolina for fighting back in this game. And Kansas is excellent. Like Hunter Dickinson, awesome. Kansas has that depth on the wing that they just didn't have last year. Ryland Griffin, AJ Store, Zeke Mayo was excellent in this game. That team's a wagon. They have a potential national title team. And some questions with North Carolina, but they fought back. And in Allen Fieldhouse, that's not easy to do.
No, I mean, I think you watched that first half and just how easy kind of Kansas was scoring. You're like, okay, North Carolina doesn't really have a chance in this game. But then, all right, so they go down 20, get into halftime, and then they come out in the second half, and it's a whole new North Carolina team. That's something that you have to be impressed with. You know, we saw the potential of North Carolina in the second half. That's probably the best basketball they played all season. Fast-paced basketball. You know, they started to hit threes. They scored 17 fast break points. But, you know, what held them back, turned the ball over 11 times, and Kansas scored 16 points off those turnovers. I mean, in big games like that, you're going to have to limit the turnovers. But like you said, I think the fight does really show something about North Carolina. I think Hubert Davis did a good job making adjustments at halftime. The majority game, I thought Kansas did play really well. One thing I noticed is that, holy crap, Kansas is so athletic. Like, that team is probably – if not one of the most athletic teams in the country, you know, probably with Auburn, which we'll get to later. But AJ Stork, AJ Adams, Zeke Mayo, Badinga, they were flying all over the court on Friday night. And I know they blew a 20-point lead. But they are without a doubt, they have enough talent to make a run in the national championship. And I think this is one of Bill Self's best teams in a long time. Moving on to State of Texas, a little controversy. I don't know if I'd say controversy, but an incident trying to get to Houston in the first
horseplay.
Horseplay. Maybe some more aggressive horseplay. But Auburn got into a fight, or a couple players got into an altercation on the team plane on Friday night on their way to Houston, forcing them to land back in Auburn before taking a second flight without the two players who got into the altercation. Back to Houston. And you know what? They go into Houston and they get the best win of the season so far. Beat Houston by 5 points in the Toyota Center. And I mean, what a game. What a great game. Both of those games. But, you know, that Auburn-Houston game was awesome. Just what'd you take away from that, Mike?
I mean, it was a heavyweight battle throughout. This game was excellent. To the point of the altercation, Tekai Howard was a recruitment I followed very closely. Super athletic kid, but stuff like this was always the concern. And then you saw I don't know if you saw the video of him like moping on the court when his teammates were going off against Vermont. It's like, That was always the concern with him. Super athletic, NBA level athleticism, but this stuff just keeps him off the court. But in terms of the game itself, Jahni Broome looked like a first-team All-American, which, like, we expected. He is incredible. He is awesome. 20 points, 9 boards, and kind of matched Houston's physicality in this game, which was something he really needed to do. 5 blocks, too. He was excellent. Probably more turnovers than you'd want from him, but he also had the ball so much that, like, and it's against Houston that, like, you have to be able to okay with that. And then Tahad Pettiford off the bench was awesome for Vermont. Just that scoring guard they really needed. JP Pegues didn't have a great game. Denver Jones didn't have a great game. So the freshman comes in his second college game, slinging. 5 of 8 from 3, 7 of 12 from the field. He was awesome. Whenever Arbor needed a bucket late in this game, it was Tahad Pettiford, who got, he kind of got them back in the game, and then he helped them take the lead, and then Jahni Broome helped him finish it off. He was awesome. That his performance was one of the best we're going to see from a freshman all year.
Yeah, I think Pettiford had his, I know this is kind of normally saying a bad thing, but Pettiford, I thought it was, you know, welcome to college basketball. Yeah. You know, as a freshman coming in, 21 points, like you said, 7 of 12 from the field, 5 threes, just some clutch buckets down the stretch, and also some great assists to Broome. There was a point at the 4-minute mark to the 2-minute mark where Auburn just scored on 4 straight possessions down the stretch on Houston. And, you know, you usually think of a Kelvin Sampson team, just a Houston defense, like that never happens. And I thought Auburn did a great job of getting Broome open in the paint. They got Broome looks. And like you said, I think this game showed just how impactful Jahni Broome is to Auburn. 5 blocks, 20 points and 9 boards. What a performance by him on both ends. And, you know, if you're Bruce Pearl, this is exactly what you asked for from this team, especially with kind of the noise coming in and the altercation on the plane Friday. But one thing I wanted to bring up, the final 4:29 of that game, Houston scored just 9 points. And I think that says something to how good this Auburn team is on the defensive end. You know, you may honestly expect that from Kelvin Sampson team just because they're so reliant on defense, but they have some scores. They have some really talented players on that team. To score 9 points in the last, you know, 4 minutes and 30 seconds, I think that's something that probably will have to be addressed.
Yeah, I think on the Houston side, this shows that you miss Jamal Shedd a lot. I mean, he was arguably the best guard in college basketball last year, and you don't really have an answer at that point guard spot, a guy who can get you a bucket later, a guy who can keep everything solid when it's going awry. In this game, Houston had 7 assists as a team to 10 turnovers. A lot of their buckets were in isolation. You don't have that leader like Shedd that this team needs. They're going to need either Cryer, who was more of a scorer, or Uzan to step into that leadership role and kind of fill the void that Jamal Shedd leaves. But for now, they don't have that. That's definitely something to watch with this team. But they still brought it on the defensive end. Auburn was just like JP Pegues hit. I mean, not JP Pegues. Oof. Tahad Pettiford hit some crazy shots. But yeah, Houston definitely does need that point guard, that steadying presence to help them when the chips are down.
Yeah, no, and I thought going back to Pettiford's performance, like he didn't score in his opening game against Vermont. He played 19 minutes, but fouled out in 19 minutes. Didn't score. And then to come back in the biggest game of your early career, obviously, I know it's game 2, but this was a massive game, number 11 versus number 4. And to have a, you know, 21-point performance as a freshman, you know, in a, you know, big arena, great environment, and to get a statement win for Auburn that's going to look phenomenal, you know, whatever happens with their record this year, it is, you know, this game might be the reason why Auburn could be a 1 or a number 2 seed come March for a, you know, potential seeding. You know, but what a game. This was really fun to watch. I watched the highlights this morning, and boy, that was just, it was just a tough, it was a physical, and it was just a fun game to watch.
Yeah, agreed.
Kansas will be playing in the Champions Classic tonight. They've won their last 4 Champions Classic matchups, and tonight they have unranked Michigan State. It's not really, you get an unranked Michigan State team, but it's Michigan State versus Kansas tonight. The other game, is Kentucky versus Duke. Those are 2 ranked teams. But Michigan State and Kansas kicks off the Champions Classic tonight in State Farm Arena in Georgia. Mike, you looking forward to this game?
I mean, the Champions Classic is always fun. These are 2 of the best games we're getting on the slate, 2 of the best games we're probably getting this week. So I definitely think it's going to be a fun one.
Yeah, and you know, when you look at this Michigan State team and you kind of look how they stack up against Kansas, I don't think, you know, they compare talent-wise. I think Kansas has a lot more talent than Michigan State, you know, but I don't think you can ever count out Tom Izzo team. Not really familiar with this Michigan State team. I'm not sure if they're as talented as last year or not, but I mean, we all know how talented Kansas is. So.
Yeah, with Michigan State, they've played two bye games, so they haven't like shown a ton, but it does worry me that Xavier Booker hasn't yet emerged for this team. I think he's kind of the guy they need to emerge, and he's like kind of starting, but like not playing significant minutes. And then you're starting a redshirt freshman, Jeremy Fears at point guard. This team is really young. Jaden Akins is definitely their leading scorer, their best player at this point, but I don't know. Just you really needed Xavier Booker, Cohen Carr to emerge, Jeremy Fears. And I don't think we've yet seen that. This is the game where they could show it, but Booker's production this year to me hasn't been up to the standard. I think Michigan State needs him to, if they're going to hit their ceiling, if they're going to be a really competitive team in the Big Ten, and especially in this game, they're going to need him to be able to space the floor. But they're playing a lot of Simon Sapala and Carson Cooper inside. And I mean, I guess they're trying to put Booker at the four, but is that more natural for him? Is that better in this matchup? I don't know. I lean Kansas in the spot. I think Kansas one's pretty big. Experience, just wings, dominant. Frankie Fiddler, I don't know how he's going to defend at this level. That was always the concern with them. We knew the shooting was there, but it's everything else. And how is this Michigan State team going to create? Is Jeremy Fears, as a redshirt freshman, really ready to go against Juwan Harris, against David Coit, against some of these experienced Kansas guards? I'm not sure. I lean Kansas in the spot pretty comfortably.
Yeah, no, I was looking at Michigan State's schedule, and they have a god-awful non-conference schedule besides this game. I think the best non-conference game after this is Colorado, and Colorado lost a lot of talent. They definitely digressed. So this is a big test for Tom Izzo's team. I mean, this is a chance to be like, hey, like, we are going to be able to compete in the Big Ten, because obviously, you know, with the additional teams in the Big Ten, the conference obviously got better, got stronger. You're going to face more talented teams. But, you know, you play a non-conference schedule that is weak, and you're really going to only get, you know, this game on your non-conference slate. You know, that is going to be tough as hell, and it's going to be a big test. You only get one shot, you know, to prove yourself. I mean, maybe not prove yourself, but play against this elite talent. So I think that's, you know, when I looked at that non-conference schedule, I'm thinking, doesn't Tom Izzo usually have these marquee games at the beginning of the season? And, you know, they opened up with two cupcakes, you know, one by 20 plus, both of them. You go straight into Kansas. So it might be a wake-up call. It might be, you know, hey, we have a lot of work to do. So it'll be interesting to see what Tom Izzo and his team bring to Georgia tonight. All right, to close out the Champions Classic, Kentucky versus Duke. And there's some storylines coming in this game. I think in the press conference after Kentucky's game against Bucknell, asked a question about the Duke game, about Cooper Flutt. And what's his name? Kirk Crisa said, you know, that, you know, I've been hearing all this talk about Cooper Flutt. You know, he's the number one pick. Congrats. I didn't know he already got that. And it was like, ooh, okay. You know, a little popcorn going into this game. I mean, but it's hard not to talk about. Hope this is a good game. Big first test for Mark Pope. You know, what are you excited about this game like?
Yeah, I'm excited to see how Duke tries to match up with Pope's very intricate offense. Duke's got a ton of length on the perimeter, which I think could take Kentucky out of some of those actions. But at the same time, this is a very experienced Kentucky team. Like, this group is veteran-led, and they've looked good in their two games. Granted, two games that they should look good in, but they've looked good. They've looked like the teams that Mark Pope coached at BYU, and just how they're running intricate offense, just with another level of talent. And you've got really good defensive guards, Lamont Butler, Otega Owe. Those guys get up in your grill, and they're going to make life difficult. If Tyrese Proctor isn't playing aggressively, or if they have to get the ball out of his hands because Duke doesn't really have a true point, that could cause some serious problems in this spot. I'm really interested in this game. I think this is definitely the more interesting of the two games. I think this game is going to be close. I think it's going to be high scoring. I'm really excited for this one. I'm excited to see how a Cooper Flagg, how a Connor Nuppel, who looks excellent this year, how these guys look against a really experienced Kentucky team. I'm excited to see how this Kentucky team, how they're able to run their offense. Just, I have so many questions entering this game, which I think makes it really interesting. I don't have a confident pick in this one. I have gun to my head, I'd take Duke, but I think this game's going to be close. I think this game's going to be competitive. I think Kentucky has the horses to keep this one competitive, and they run just such beautiful offense that if they're able to do that in this game, it's going to be fun and they're going to be live.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that you noticed from watching Kentucky's two first games, a lot of ball movement. You know, they had 30 and 23 assists, respectively, in their opening games. You know, and you look back at John Calipari-led Kentucky teams, you know, they have so much talent, you know, on their team that there might be a lot of more iso ball, but not with the Mark Pope team. You know, based on the first two games, you have to like the large margin wins for Kentucky. This is a phenomenal test for Mark Pope to be like, hey, can I coach at the highest level? Can I coach in one of the best conferences in the country? And you have a phenomenal opportunity, you know, against Duke. You know, this game is going to be about, you know, collegiate experience versus youth. Look at Duke's team leaders in pretty much every major stat. You know, Knepel leading the team 18 and a half points per game. Malak, 10 boards per game. He's a freshman. And then obviously freshman Cooper Flagg, 4 assists per game, 2.5 steals per game, 1.5 blocks per game. All those by freshmen. Are those freshmen going to, you know, step up and compete against these tough Kentucky guards, like you said? TBD. I think they might have enough talent already to be able to scrape by, but I don't think this is going to be a, you know, a large margin win. I don't think this is going to be a blowout whatsoever. I think this is going to be an exciting game, and I'm really excited to watch it.
Yeah, very excited. There's so many different ways this game can go. Do some of like Duke's experienced vets off the bench make a difference? Like you're looking at guys like Sion James, who played last year at Tulane, is kind of like that point forward type role. Looking at Mason Gillis, who played last year at Purdue. Purdue was kind of good last year. So they could be make a difference. And then you have returners, Tyrese Proctor. Is he ready to be that point guard? Can Caleb Foster help out in the backcourt? I am really interested to see how this game goes. I think there's so many different ways it can go that I'm just excited to see, and I'm excited to overreact to the inevitable result.
All right, well, we will react to these games on Friday, but it's also really, really good Friday slate this upcoming week. We'll be back on Friday to recap the Champions Classic and look ahead to the fun games on Friday slate. Mike and Beasley will be back on Friday. We'll see you then. Thanks.
Thank you.